नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतलेश्वरि भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेव गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणी भजे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। We stopped last Thursday when Arjuna asked this question to Krishna. Sthita prajna sega bhasha samadhista se keshava sthita dhigim prabhasheda kimasida vrajeda kim. That was where we were, that's what we were discussing. Arjuna has asked this question to Krishna. What are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? Basically, all those words means only one thing. Merge in transcendence means one who is realized the self, in other words. So, sthitadhi kim prabhasheda kim asida vrajeda kim. That, what does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? So, we're saying here that when we are under the control of the ego, it creates suffering for us. When we are under the control of ego, it creates suffering. When it is under the control of the self, it will subside. That means the mind, the nature of the mind is such that if it is under the control of the false ego, it will constantly give us trouble. So that is why straight away when Krishna answered that question, he said that prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. You see, in the subtle body, we have four things. Manasa, mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. What is this chittam? I think that is one thing which is confuses most of the people. What is this thing called a chittam? False ego, we know what it is. False ego means that our identification with the body and the mind and the intelligence, this particularly identification with the body, that I am a separate entity who has who is the doer, who is the enjoyer, and who develops this understanding of attachment, aversion. This is all the false ego, that's who does it. So that false ego is a separate entity of our existence, which is the jivatvam, or called the jiva state, and that is false ego. Then the mind, we know, which creates all the sankalpams inside. So all the sankalpam is created by the mind. The intelligence also, we know, buddhi, which makes a definite decision after the mind has pondered over various options. Mind creates, brings a lot of thoughts inside. From there, intelligence picks that and decides one. And that is a duty of the intelligence. What is chittam then? Because these four things constitutes a subtle body, strictly speaking. Ahankaram, buddhi, manasa, chittam. Chittam is a place where thoughts originate from. Thoughts originate from a point, and that is chittam. So, very finely, the sages have got this clear in their own analysis, that subtle body is very specific. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Generally, out of all these four things, the often reference is made between mind and chittam, manasa and chittam. Buddhi and ahankaram is very clear what it does and what it doesn't. But manasa and chittam, they are closely connected. From chittam, the thought originates and it comes as mind to us. And they all come from the soul. All of them come from the soul. Mind comes from the soul, intelligence comes from the soul, false ego comes from the soul, and chittam also comes from the soul. So when we discussed last Thursday, we said that the prajahadi yadha kaman, out of these four, the most powerful one is the mind. to how to give up this control of the mind. And that is what we'll be discussing from now on in the remaining part of the chapter. Krishna is saying there that this mind is the most powerful thing. How these constant thoughts are flowing in. And two options are there, that two ways it can happen. One, due to extreme distress in life. When one experiences a lot of distress, what will happen is that will, in that situation, if he gets an opportunity for satsangam, and in that satsangam, he will realize the powerful mind and keep the distance from the mind. That can happen in a natural way. In a very natural way, it will happen to people. That through a lot of distress in life, when one comes into contact with, comes into hear about the soul and the activities of the mind, automatically one becomes very cautious and keeps a distance from the mind and won't allow to get influenced by the mind. He knows that everything is the origin, the everything is ultimately distress in the material life. And in other words, internally he develops detachment. Internally he develops a detachment from the world outside, external world. So in the next opportunity, the next way is through sadhana. Sadhana process is little bit different in the sense that in the first process, when we have a lot of distress in life, how we free away from the distresses and how free away from the mind. On the other hand, in sadhana process is a little different. Sadhana process, what we are seeing there is that the whole manifestation of the world is nothing but Krishna. Whole manifestation of the world is nothing but Krishna. That inside it manifests as the mind and outside it manifests as the world. Inside it manifests as the mind and outside it manifests as the world. This world is created by the mind. And both of them have come from the soul. Both of them have come from the soul. The world outside has come from the soul. The mind inside has also come from the soul. So, the way it is discussed about the mind is that it is called a vijrumpanam. In the Shastram, they refer to the word as vijrumpanam. So, we have five different kinds of sheath covered around the soul. Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. In the yoga system, Ashtanga Yogam, Patanjali's Ashtanga Yogam, that is how the soul is covered with these five different sheets. Now, out of these five sheets, Annamayam is very clear, which is the gross body. Pranamayam is the next one, which is the life air or the energy that creates the energy for functioning in this world. Both Jnanendriyam and Karmendriyam works from this power of the pranan. That is why it's called pranamayam. Pranamayam means both the senses, all the senses, five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, they receive their power from pranan to function in this world. It's more, and one is more subtle than the other. So therefore, pranamayam is subtle than the annamayam. Subtle than pranamayam is manomayam. Subtle than pranamayam is manomayam. So this manomayam, it is mentioned, Jnanendriyanicha manascha manomayasyal kosho mamahamidi vastu vigalpa hedu. Sapnyadi bheda kalana kalido biliyam tot purva kosham abhibhuya vijambadeyam. That's what it says. That Jnanendriyanicha manascha manomayasyal, the mental sheath inside is formed the organs of senses of knowledge and the mind. That's how they form the mental sheath inside. The senses of knowledge, Jnanendriyanicha manascha manomayasya, manomayam. Manomayam is formed of the mind and the senses of knowledge. Kosham mamahamiti vastu vigalpa hedu. What it does is, this kosham mamahamiti, it makes you feel that me and mine. This comes from that sheath. This mental sheath, it comes, mamahamiti. Janasyamoyom ham mameti. Rishabhadev says this to his children, isn't it? In the instructions in the Bhagavatam, you can see. Janasyamoyom ham mameti. Me and mine has come from that. All these things are so subtle when you study the mind, where these things, thoughts have come to us. And it is amazing that things which we never thought has originated within us, without our knowledge. And that is why this mental sheath is a most difficult sheath also to break through. Krishna also keeps stressing on this point. Janasya mahoya mahamamedi. So, kosham mamahamedi vastu vigalpa hedu. And this me and mine, it's a hedu of all vigalpam. Vigalpam means this constant thoughts that's coming through. They are all vigalpams. Vigalpam is that which gives you a different... See, originally there is only the soul. From the soul, all these things have started building up. So therefore, the word used is vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means from something, things starts coming out without being asked for. It happens on its own way. Vijrambhanam. And satyadi bhedakalana kalido beliyam. There is nothing more kalido beliyam. Kalido beliyam. It's the most powerful thing it says here. And endued with the faculty of creating differences in of name, etc. So, it is this powerful mind that creates in this world all differences from one to another. Actually, these differences should not exist if they all come from the soul. Isn't it? Origin is the same thing. But it appears, manifests in front of us as different names and different forms. We give different names. The same substance, say for example water, it turns into ice, it turns into steam. And similarly, same substance turns into different, appears in front of us, and through senses we perceive them as though they are all different. So that's what it says here. Satyadi bhedakalana kalido beliyam. And it creates this powerful illusion in us that everything is different. One is different from the other. And different names, different forms. In fact, as far as Shastra is concerned, there is only one substance existing. That is the soul. And it is from the soul all these manifestations has come out. Tat purva kosham abhipurva vijrambadeya. Then, and it becomes like a powerful sheath around the soul. This builds a powerful sheath. Tatpurva kosham abhibhurya vijrambadeya. That it creates one of the most powerful sheets around the soul. Panchendriyai panchabireva hedubi. Panchi prajiyamano vishaya ajvadharaya. Jajvalyamano bhuvasanendrane. Manomayam manomayagnir dehadir prapascham. Prapancham. This mental sheath, that means panchendriyai panchabireva hedubi. That mental sheath is the fire which fed with the fuel of numerous desires by the five sense organs, which serve as priests and set ablaze by the sense objects, which act as the stream of oblations, brings about this phenomenal universe. So, this creation of the world actually happens inside, not outside. We see, most of us think that we come here, we see this world, isn't it? But this world is only existing because of the powerful mind inside. And it is this mind that gives a name and shape and to everything for the world that is outside. Without this mind, this world cannot exist the way, and we don't perceive the world in the way we perceive today. Prajiyamano vishayajyadharaya jajvalyamanam bahuvasane endhane. It creates a blazing fire by the sense, five sense organs. These sense organs, with the they're mentioned here as they serve as the priests who offer the oblations, which is set by the ablaze by the sense objects, which act as the stream of oblations. So, brings about this phenomenal universe. So, in the mental sheath is created in this way, that the senses of numerous desires. With the senses, they come into contact with the sense objects, and it creates this sense of this access stream of oblations, brings about this phenomenal universe. Nahyastya vidya manaso diri istam, manohya vidya bhavbandha hedu, tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam, vijrambade smin sakalam vijrambade. Very important words. Vijrambade smin sakalam vijrambade. If you break this sheet, you have broken everything. That's what they're saying. Na hyasya vidya manaso adiriktam. There is no ignorance outside the mind. There is no ignorance outside the mind. When we say ignorance in Shastram, it is a different than the ignorance what we talk about in the normal conversation. In general conversation, we say somebody is ignorant, isn't it? Or as though we are very realized. We say somebody is ignorant. But from the Shastram point of view, ignorance is something very deep-rooted inside of our mistaken understanding of the body as the self. That is what is ignorance in the Shastram. Ignorance in the Shastram is not in the material transactions what we call it as ignorance. The real ignorance, what Shastram is saying to us, is that the misunderstanding of the body as the self. That is the ignorance. And that ignorance is Krishna saying here, Nahyasya vidya manaso adhiristam manohya vidya bhavbandha hedu. Then this mental sheath is avidya, is the cause of bondage and transmigration. It is a thing we discussed before also, that this mind is the one, veliyasi, very powerful thing it is, that is the cause of the bondage cause of bondage of transmigration. Transmigration happens because of the powerful mind. That's why we, if you remember when we talked earlier, we said that is transmigration a reality? As far as soul is concerned, it is not. But then, in practical life, it is. It happens to all of us, isn't it? We are going through that. So, transmigration is not an absolute reality. As far as from the platform of the soul, it is not affected by any of these things. But from the platform of the mind, it is a powerful thing. As powerful as the process. In the sense that the transmigration is there of the soul. Subtle body is there. Subtle body is there. For a realized soul, because the mind doesn't exist, transmigration doesn't happen. It's all happening inside the person, not outside. So, manohya vidya bhav bandha hedu. This manas or mind is the avidya. It is the ignorance in us. The more the ignorance is, the more powerful the mind will be. That is the symptom of that. The more realized a person is, the less powerful the mind will be and less disturbed he will be. Manohya vidyam avidya bhava bandha hedu. And that mind is the cause hedu or cause of the bandhanam or the bondage and bhavam. Bhava means this transmigration of the soul. Tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam. So if you have managed to break this mind or destroy this mind, sakalam vinashtam. Vijrumbade smin sakalam vijrumbade. And when it is manifested, everything else is manifested. That is how it is. This is an important point. That tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam. If it gets destroyed, everything is destroyed. Avidya is completely destroyed. But if it manifests, vijrumbade smin sakalam vijrumbade. If it manifests, it will bring everything, creates everything in front of us. That is the powerful mind. So, then, Svapnertashunyai srijadisva shaktyam bhoktvadi vishvam mana eva sarvam tadaiva jagratya vino visheshal sat sarvam edan manaso vijrumbhanam. Svapnertashunyai srijadisva shaktyam. In the dream state, when there is no actual contact with the external world, mind creates the whole universe consisting of the experiencer. That means that bhoktadi vishwam mana eva sarvam. Mind creates everything and also mind is creating the person who is enjoying that dream world. That is also created by the mind. Just to show to us that in the dream state, without any contact with the external world, everything is created inside by the mind, and mind even creates a person. The interesting thing is that in the mind, in the dream state, you are witnessing the dream that you yourself are going through so many experiences. That is the beauty of the dream, isn't it? You are standing there separately as a witness, watching all the sufferings you are going through or happiness you are going through in the dream state. So in other words, in the dream state, you are able to watch this, all the things, what's happening to you separately independent of that. So that's also created by the mind. Svatne artha shunyam sajadiswa shaktaya bhoktvadi vishwam manaye vasarvam tadaiva jagratya vidho visheshal sat sarvam edan manaso vijrambhanam. Similarly, the conclusion from the Vedanta philosophy is that tadaiva jagratya vidho vishesham. Even in the jagrat state, all these things what we are experiencing, tat sarvamedan manaso vijrambanam, you have to understand that this is also created by the mind. It's a vijrambanam, or the manifestation of the mind. It's not much different than the manifestation of the mind in the dream state. Lot of us, we think like this, that dream state is a dream. We reject it, isn't it? But we take this as the jagrat state or awakened state as the reality and accept it. So the point is this, that the sarvamedan manaso vijrambanam, even the vacant state also is nothing but a manifestation of the mind. All these things are spoken from the jnani's point of view. How the jnani is very minutely analyze things, and they have keep these things in their thoughts very strongly. So that they are observing their own mind all the time. How the mind is driven by the senses, by the world outside, and this mind becomes powerful. So in order not to allow the mind to become strong, you have to keep a watch on the mind. That is their point of view. So, svapnartha shunya srajadi sva shaktaya bhoktadi vishwam manayeva sarvam tadaiva jagrati vino visheshal tat sarvam edan manaso vijrambhanam. It's all coming from the mind. Therefore, all this is the projection of the mind from the phenomenal universe. Sushupti kale manasi praline naivasti kinjil sagada prasiddhe ato mana kalpita eva pumsa samsara medasena vastu dosti. It says here, sushupti kale manasi praline. Interesting thing is, when you go into the deep sleep state, mind is reduced to its causal state. In other words, there exists nothing. How come the same mind, when it goes into deep sleep, for the person who is sleeping, it's evident from our experience that the that the mind has no function at all at that point. Mind has no function at all at that point. Hence, adho mana kalpita eva pumsam. From this we can understand that man's relative existence is simply the creation of the mind. We feel our existence very strongly in this world, isn't it? Through the body. And from the bodily activities, bodily identities, all our existence we are feeling very, very firm about it. We are so conscious of it. We feel that it's so important. And this is very deeply embedded inside. And this has come from the mind. Adho manakalpitam eva pumsam. This is all that, because sometimes it happens. They give this example of often to show that how the powerful mind, how it controls our life. In a festival site, when there was a festival going on in the temple grounds, the yearly festival was going on. At that time, people from different parts of the village, they come for the festival. And overnight, they will stay at the festival site. They will sleep there, because they haven't got the facility to go back, and the festival lasts for the whole day and night sometimes in the temples. So they come for the festival. When they come for the festival, the villagers bring even their beds to sleep. Beds means they'll have some very simple bedding which they can stretch it on the ground, and they will sleep at night when they get tired. So all of them, when they come to the temple grounds, for the festival grounds, they will find a place for them to settle down somewhere. They will mark their spot. And they will put their beds, and there will be sometimes a quarrel among themselves. That this is my place, that's your place, and I already occupied this place. Why have you moved into my place? Like this, arguments can develop in the site. So this is quite common. It happens all the time. So when they come and occupy these places, there will be sometimes very severe arguments, and they fight each other, and all sorts of things happens in the festival grounds when this annual festival happens. So two people, they have come and they had a lot of problems with each other, but eventually they put their beds, and when both of them went to deep sleep. When they have gone to deep sleep, all these fights that has happened is all gone. And not only that, in the sleep, when you are sleeping next to each other, sometimes your leg may fall onto the other, the person whom you are fighting with earlier, or vice versa also. But that time, all this fight is gone. To prove to the point that samsaram edasya ato manakalpidam eva pumsam, that all this fighting what we do in this world, it's also manakalpidam. It's nothing but mind that is causing all this problem. Look at this way. Even big war, if you think about, those who have fought the wars, at that particular time, they thought this was the right thing to do and they fought the war. Now, war is all over. They have also gone in their own way, whichever, wherever they have come from. Whether it is adho manakalpidam eva pumsa samsaram edasyana vastudosti. Actually, there is no truth in any of these things. This is the important point. It's all manakalpidam. If there are people with this deeper understanding of the mind, that how the mind functions, this is knowledge, isn't it? When you study Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti, you can see that as soon as you go into Sushupti state or deep sleep state, you are not experiencing any of these distresses, what has been caused by the mind. Sushupti gale manasi praline naivasti kinjil sakala prasiddhe adho manakalpidam eva pumsa samsara medasana vastudosti. Samsaram, samsaram, what we say, isn't it? Samsara dhavan ananita loka. That dhavanalam, this forest fire of samsaram, material existence, is samsaram edasana vastu dosti. There is only, this vastu has come and it has no reality. That's why material existence has no reality actually, but we experience because of the powerful mind behind it. Then, vayuna aniyade medha. Punaste neiva niyade, manasa kalpade bando, moshaste neiva kalpade. This is another thing. That vayuna niyade metha, clouds bring the, clouds are brought in by the wind, and again driven away by the same, by wind again. Sometimes you see the clouds bring the wind, and clouds take away the wind also, isn't it? Manasa kalpade bandham. Similarly, the mind brings this bondage to us, and moshasteneiva kalpyate, and mind also makes you liberated, feels liberated. So you can see that bandham and moksham, bondage and liberation, actually doesn't exist for the soul. It's only in the presence of the mind bondage and liberation happens. So once this mind is controlled, when the mind is brought under, or mind doesn't exist, bondage and liberation doesn't exist also. The same principle is what is spoken in the Ekadasha Skandham in the 11th chapter, isn't it? If you remember, bando mukta idivyakhya gunato me namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Bandham and moksham, as far as Krishna is concerned, bandham and moksham doesn't exist for the soul. Bondage and liberation doesn't exist for the soul. When our false ego develops inside, and when we identify with the false ego, bondage exists. When the false ego goes away from inside, when we are in identification with the soul, liberation exists. That's all it is. It is, there is no bondage or liberation for the soul is concerned. So, manasa kalpyade bandho mokshasteneiva kalpyade. So, bandha moksham is also kalpidam. Kalpidam means it is something that's been projected by the mind. Mind is giving, we work whole life thinking that I have to get liberated now, I have to get liberated. When I'm going to finish, get out of this material body, we keep saying to each other, isn't it? So the Shastra conclusion is that this freedom from the material body is actually not caused by the body, rather caused by the mind. Caused by the mind. Mind is the cause of that. While remaining within the body, if you have managed to free from yourself from the influence of the mind, you are already liberated. So body is not the cause of liberation, strictly speaking. It is the mind that is causing this problem. Vayuna niyade medha punasteneiva niyade manasa kalpyade bandho mokshasteneiva kalpyade. So, just like they are giving this example, clouds bring the sorry, the wind brings all the clouds sometimes, and the wind takes away all the clouds away. Same way. Similarly, the mind brings this feeling of bondage to us, and mind again takes up feeling of brings the feeling of liberation also. Normally, in our conditioned state, most of the time we feel we are in bondage, isn't it? We don't feel. Why is that? Because this identity with the false ego is very, very strong inside. So, dehadi sarva vishaye parigalpya ragam bandha badhnadi dena purusham pashuvad gunena vairasyamatra vishavad suvidhaya paschal enam vimojayadi tan mana eva bandhad. What it does is, dehadi sarva vishayen parigalpya ragam. Dehadi sarva vishayen parigalpya ragam. What it does is, it creates an attachment in man for the body and all the other sense objects. That's what the mind does. It creates an attachment for the body and all the other sense objects. Badhnadi badhnadi tena purusham pashuval gunena. And what it does is, and binds through that attachment like a beast by means of ropes. Just like a beast is tied with a bunch of ropes, he ties him through that. Then, vairasya mantra vishavad suvidhaya paschal. Then, what else the mind does after that? Vairasya mantra vishavad suvidhaya paschal. Afterwards, the same mind creates in the individual an utter distaste for the sense objects. That is a funny thing about this. Mind take us to the sense objects first, make us to enjoy the sense objects, and eventually it creates a distaste for the sense objects within us. Vairasya matra vishaval suvidhaya paschal enam denam vimojayadinan mana eva bandhal. And at that time, when it creates a distaste or a bad taste for us of the sense objects, it makes us feeling as though it is poison, and frees himself from the bondage. Tenam vimojayadi tan mana eva bandhad. So you can see the mind, how it entangles and how it separates from the sense objects. That's what it is spoken here. Dehadi sarva vishayan parigalpi ragam badhnadi dena purusham pashuval gunena. And pashuval gunena, and binds him to attachment like a beast. In fact, in Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is saying there that the it is an important statement in the comes in the Ailagidam. Ailagidam means the story of Pururavas, Krishna's ancestor in the same lineage of Lunar Dynasty. He was a very famous king, this Pururavas. Pururavas says there that the in the Ailagidam, that's a song. If you remember, in the Ailagidam, the story is that somehow or the other he got attracted to Urvashi. And Urvashi and Pururavas had a long span of life together. And afterwards, Urvashi went back to the heavenly planet. She had to come here due to some curse from a sage. And she had to live with this king, Pururavas, who is also known as, he is a son of Ila, therefore he is called Ila. It's another name for Pururavas. So Pururavas comes in this lineage of Lunar Dynasty, Krishna's ancestor, and he had this long span of life with Urvashi. Urvashi went back to the heavenly planets. And Pururavas sings there, Adhabi Nobasajeda Srinu Straineshu Charthavet. Adhabi Nobasajeda Strishu Straineshu Charthavet. Vishayan Indriyarteshu Manachubhini Nanyadha. His point is this. He says, I've learned a very important lesson from this experience I had. First of all, I wasted all my life in sense enjoyment. In sense enjoyment. He admits that. I've done that mistake. What a great mistake I have committed. I got this powerful position as the king, and all my ancestors, they at some point in time, they gave up this life in this world, went to the forest and worked very hard, and eventually they realized the truth and left this world and gone back to the spiritual world. I didn't do it. I got absorbed in the happiness of this world, got attracted to Urvashi and spent this long time with her. How did this happen? He's analyzing himself and he's saying, Adhabi Nobasajeda, Strinus Trayeshu Charthavet. One who has got attraction like that to the opposite sex, or male or female, whichever form it is, he says here, Strinus Trayeshu Charthavet. You should know that Vishayan Indriyas, Vishayendriya Samyogal, when the senses and the sense objects get attracted, Manakshubhiri Nanyada, behind that, the one who is suffering is the mind. Senses and sense objects can get attached to each other. That will happen. But the person who suffers behind that is Manakshubhiri Nanyada. Manas, mind is the one which becomes Kshubhiri. Kshubhiri means it gets disturbed. Chobham. Chobham means what happens, how the mind gets agitated, the agitation inside, that is chobham, the agitation. Manakshubhiri Nanyada. There is no other reason for the mind to get agitated, except that senses and sense objects have come into contact. So there is that statement about the mind, Manakshubhiri Nanyada. Therefore, he says, I have to control my mind. He says there. Same thing in Bhikshugita also, isn't it? Nayam janome sukadukha hedu na devadatma grahakarma kala manaparam karanam amanandi. He says the mind is the cause behind everything. So out of these four things, mind, intelligence, ahankaram and chittam, who is the most powerful one? It is this mind, isn't it? Therefore, Krishna is saying, control the mind. And therefore, how do you control the mind? Unless there is proper understanding of all these things. Suppose you tell someone, oh, you control your mind. It is not possible. But if this knowledge is inside about the mind, how the mind works, how it gets affected by the modes of nature, and how important it is to control the mind, so this understanding should go in. And when Krishna is saying here, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan, mind is the whole thing behind it, Krishna is saying there. Isn't it? And Arjuna also said the same thing. Chanchalam hi manak Krishna pramadi balaval dridam. That Krishna, this chanchalam, this nature of the mind is pramadi balaval dridam. It's very, very powerful. Isn't it? So everywhere, the one that is targeted is this mind. Is this mind. If the mind is under control, false ego will go. And intelligence also will not overstep everything. Intelligence will also subdued. Intelligence will not come as an obstacle. And similarly, chittam, where the thoughts are, chitta shuddhi will happen. So the purity of the chittam depends on the mind. Again, chitta shuddhi comes from the mind. So that is why it's tasman manak karanamasya jantu bandasya mokshasya java vidhani bandasya hedur malinam rajogunai mokshasya shuddham virajastamaskaram virajastamaskam. So, tasman manak karanam asya jantho. Therefore, the mind is the only thing that brings the man's bondage or liberation. Bandasya moshasya java vidhane. Bandam moksham, what we are talking about all the time, as liberation, going back home, back to Godhead. We say different ways, the same thing, isn't it? Liberation is the same thing, what we're talking about, going back home, back to Godhead. So all these things, it says, tasman manakaranam asya jandur bandasya mokshasya java vidhane. For jandu, all of us who have got powerful mind with us, is considered to be a jandhu. Jandu means more or less like an animal inside. Because what is mind? Mind inside is also, where does these thoughts come from? The vasanas. Vasanas inside is creating these thoughts from the chittam. And because we have gone through so many different species, different animal species, and in different, even the human body with different experiences, all that vasanas are inside. And so long as this jandu vasana, animal vasanas are inside us, it says here, bandasya mokshasaja vavya vidhani, then it will create this feeling of bandham and moksham. Bandasya hedur malinam rajogunai. Bandasya hedur malinam rajogunai. When does one feel very strongly bound? When there is rajogunam. When there is rajogunam inside. That is when you feel the bondage very strongly. But when tainted by the effects of rajas, it leads to bondage. Malinam rajogunai. Mokshasya shuddham virajas tamaskam. When the mind is pure and freed from the rajas and tamas elements, it conduces to liberation. This is another thing. Actually, all the subtle side of our life is so important to understand and to constantly think about this. Because only in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam you find this explanation so well given. In the Upanishads when you go, it has not gone to that extent, these things discussed. Because there it's spoken in a still higher level. But whereas in the Bhagavatam, if you look into the 13th chapter, which we'll be discussing soon, in that 13th chapter, Krishna begins the chapter itself with the three modes, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. How in a subtle level they are affecting us. In a subtle level, how they are controlling us, these three gunams. And if we have understood that, we can see why things are not happening to us in the spiritual life. Why things are not happening to us in the spiritual life. Because Krishna is saying there, Sattvam Rajastama Iti. That verse is important. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavadam, that the Sattvam Rajastama Iti, in the 13th chapter, Krishna begins with this statement. He says there that the, Krishna Shri Bhagavan Vacha. This is the verse he begins the 13th chapter of Hamsagidam. When we discuss that, we'll discuss it detail. Sattvam rajastam idi guna buddher na chalmana. Sattve anyadamo hanyal sattvam sattve na chayvahi. So, Krishna is saying there that sattvam rajasya tamasya. These three things, they are actually the qualities of the intelligence, he says. It has nothing to do with the soul. It affects the intelligence. So, in the mind, we have, although we say mind, intelligence and all that, in substance they are all one. But only according to their functional level, we are making these separations as mind, intelligence, senses. All these kinds are based on the functional aspect. Strictly speaking, they are not that something on a material level you can analyze it in that way. Based on the function, we say like this, it's the mind, it's the intelligence, it's the chittam, it's the senses, like that. So Krishna is saying here, sattvam rajasa tamasa idi guna buddher na chalpana. They are only in the buddhi. If the buddhi or intelligence, actually it is a difficult thing to explain, because this buddhi is not the buddhi we are talking about in the normal intelligence. Buddhi here referred to as the prajna. Prajna means the consciousness of what is coming from our soul. That's the consciousness. How we are conscious of mixed with all the vasanas inside. That is prajna. So, he says here, sattvam rajasa tamas. These are all the qualities of that prajna. Guner na chalmana. Nothing to do with the soul. Sattva anyadamo hanyal sattvam sattvena chayvahi. So, sattve anyadamo hanyal. That means tamogunam, when one it is in deeply absorbed in tamas, deeply absorbed in tamas, there are certain features that happens to us in our thinking, in our body, in our dealings, everything. In our thoughts, it gets affected. And you can't even escape from that. You are so much under its control at that time. When tamogunam comes in, what happens? Tamogunam comes, what happens is, the body feels a lot of heaviness. Isn't it? Body feels a lot of heaviness. It's then that when you eat a lot, you feel controlled by the food. Food controls you at that time. You eat too much. And not only that, heaviness also depends in the way it exists in the form of the sleep. Comes in the form of sleep. So eating and sleeping becomes very powerful under tamogunam. That when the tamogunam is in the buddhi, we are not able to say no to eating. When we have to stop it, we don't know. We eat because it's a feast. We eat thinking that, oh, prasadam, let it go in. It's actually tamogunam working inside. that not able to say no at that point, because tamogunam gets stronger at that point. So also, what happens in tamogunam, nothing will go in. All this what we are reading in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, nothing will have any effect at that point. It will just stay. We'll listen and sleep. Continuously listening and sleeping. That will be the result of that. Now, therefore, tamogunam, Krishna says, first we should eliminate, avoid, get out of it. Then what is the next one? Rajogunam. In Rajogunam, the problem is, the nature of Rajogunam is, you can't sit in one place. Mind will be absorbed in millions of things in this world. Karma. Karma is the problem with Rajogunam. Rajogunam, in the Bhagavatam, if you look into the second canto, I think, or in third canto, where creation process is Rajodigaha Karmaparaha. Rajogunam means karmam. Rajogunam means karmam. Karma means activity, isn't it? Constantly a disturbed mind running this way, that way, this way, that way. Krishna says that state is also not helpful. That state is also not helpful. By then you have come out of the tamogunam. Tamogunam is not the problem there. There the problem is rajogunam. So this rajogunam manifests in this way. Rajodigaha karmaparaha dukheja sukhamanina. Even after experiencing all the dukkham or distress in this world, he will not withdraw from that. This is the nature of Rajogunam. He will go on hammering again and again, trying to find happiness in this place. Rajodigaha karmaparaha dukheja sukhamanina. Not only that, only in Rajogunam, this thought comes that whenever distress happens, he takes it as happiness. That twist to the distress. He does not know that it is distress. He is thinking, I am experiencing some happiness. That is the most powerful, worst thing actually to happen. That's why people are able to work so hard in life because of this. Because this deep involvement with Rajogunam. That's why they are able to work so hard. Otherwise they won't be able to work like that. After some time, they get some kind of pleasure from this working hard business. Isn't it? Sattvam sattvena chayvahi. So, sattvam rajastama iti, they are nothing to do with the alma, with the soul, but from the intelligence. Sattvam sattvena chayvahi. Krishna is saying there, Bhagavan Vaja. So, both this condition of tamogunam and the condition of rajogunam is not helpful for spiritual life. It's not helpful for spiritual life. So therefore, whereas a person who has come to sattugunam, sattven, sattvena chayvahi, he says once who has come to sattugunam, what will happen is he will not be driven by the world. The world will not control him. He will have that freedom to think and freedom to act rather than one who is in rajogunam and tamogunam. In tamogunam, you have no freedom to act. You are controlled by the body and the sense enjoyment coming from that. That's controlling us. In Rajogunam, karmam controls us. The powerful karma that drives us. Whereas in Sattugunam, you are released from both of this karmam as well as the bodily happiness. Both of them goes away and you have some clarity inside to properly assimilate the spiritual understanding what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. We will discuss that when you come to that 13th chapter later on in the Bhagavatam. So, we're discussing here. Oh, yes. So, Viveka Vairagya Gunadi Regal Shuddhatvama Asadhyam Ano Vimukte Bhavatyato Buddhimato Mumuksho Sabhyam Sabhyam, Dranabhyam, Bhavidavyam Agreem. So, Viveka Vairagya Guna Adiregal. Attaining purity through analysis and discrimination and renunciation. So, Viveka Vairagyam, discrimination and renunciation. One who has developed this nature of analyzing self in this way, he will develop detachment. He will develop vairagyam and vivegam. Renunciation and detachment will develop inside. there is a person who is thoughtful, a person who is analyzing these things. Viveka Vairagya Vairagya Gunadiregam. Gunadiregam. It is the modes of nature makes us to think like this, that it develops certain vairagyam inside. That if you know that, if you touch fire, you will get burned. Similarly, if you know inside that it is going to cause me distress, then I will learn how to keep away from that. Isn't it? That is sense. That's vivegam. Not that, suppose something is giving me sense enjoyment, without any full attachment, if I go and jump into that, I will be burned. So, viveka vairagyam, viveka vairagya gunadiregam, shuddhattvam asadhyam ano vimukte, and the mind makes for liberation. Bhavatyado buddhimado mumuksho, thabhyam dadabhyam bhavidavya marge. And so, wise person, an intelligent person, must seeks after liberation, who is looking for liberation, must first strengthen these two. Which one? Vivegam and vairagyam. They are the qualities of the mind. That if that is become stronger, then the mind will not drive us in the wrong direction. Mano nama mahavyakram vishayaranya bhumishu bhumishu charadyatra nagachandu sadhavo me sadhavo ye mumukshava. So, mind is considered like this, compared like this. Mano nama mahavyakram. It is like a powerful tiger. This vyakra means a tiger. He says here, mano namam, the name of the tiger is the mind. Vishayaranya bhumishu, the forest of sense enjoyment. Vishayaranya means the forest of sense enjoyment. In that forest, the mind is a powerful tiger. Charatyatrana gacchandu sadhavo ye mumukshava. Those people who wants to get out of this material existence or freedom from material life or from the miseries of material life, what it says here, charatyatrana gacchandu, don't let this tiger, should not be allowed to go there. Gacchandu sadhavo ye mumukshava. One who is seeking for liberation, longing for liberation, should never go there. To this forest tract of sense pleasures, and this tract of land which is the forest, which is of the sense enjoyment forest, and where there is this mind which is wandering in that forest. So you can see from the platform of the soul, there is a forest of sense enjoyment. There is in the Bhagavatam also, you can read these two chapters in the fifth canto. You will see the last two chapters. There's titled as Forest of Enjoyment. And those two forests of enjoyment were spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit for only one reason, to tell him that there is a thing called the forest of enjoyment. And it is in that forest that this thing, our tiger, the mind, which is the mind, is wandering around. So intelligent person should not go into that forest, not to meet this tiger there, to meet this tiger who is wandering in that forest. So everything is looking from the platform of the soul, not to allow the tiger which is wandering around in this forest, not go closer to him, not go anywhere closer to them. Let good, and those who are looking for liberation. In those two chapters, when Sudeva Goswami spoke about that to Parikshit, Sudeva Goswami spoke in such a way, it was spoken in a very paroksham, in a very indirect way. So when Parikshit heard that, he did not fully understand it. So one chapter, he spoke about the forest of enjoyment. When Parikshit said, I did not fully understand what you have said. So then Sudeva Goswami had to make it very clear to him what he is talking about. That's how that conversation in the Bhagavatam is. That initially when Parikshit asked the question, this has happened after the, you will see there, the planets were discussed, isn't it? Hellish planets and everything. And indeed it is in the same fifth canto this comes, the forest of enjoyment also. And there you can see that the questions from Parikshit about the material existence, and Sudeva Goswami, instead of openly speaking about it, put it in a very poetic way in that chapter. So because it was very poetical, the description, Parikshit says to Sudeva Goswami, I did not understand what you have said. So, and then Sudeva Goswami had to explain that in depth. What is the forest of enjoyment means? So the sages like Sudev Goswami and all the great personalities, they know there is a forest of enjoyment that exists. They know that there is a thing called the tiger of the mind that exists. And this tiger is wandering around in that forest looking for looking for enjoyment. So they learn how to stay away from that, how to stay away from these two. Manaprasude vishayana sheshan stulatmana sushmadaya jabhoktu shariravarna ashrama jadi bhedan gunakriya hedu bhalani nityam. It says here, manaprasude vishayana sheshan. The mind continuously produces for those who are experiencing all sense objects without exceptions, without any. Stula atmana sushmadaya jabhoktor. Sometimes this sense enjoyment is in two levels, isn't it? One in a gross level and another one in a very subtle level. Another one in a subtle level. In a gross level, we all understand. But subtle level is more dangerous. Subtle level is more dangerous. Because after we have experienced some sense enjoyment in this world, it stays as a vasana inside. And if we keep on, you know, like the cows do, they bring the food back and chew it and send it back again, isn't it? That's what they normally, the cows do. They go and eat a lot of grass. Then they go and lie down somewhere. And all that they have eaten, they'll bring it back and chew it nicely and then they will again send it back. The cows do that. Similarly, what we also do is, when we have sense enjoyment, that sense enjoyment immediately stays as a vasana inside. And then that is on a gross level, it happens as sense enjoyment. Later on, what has gone in, that vasanas will come out again, and then in a sushmam, in a very subtle level, we enjoy it again, and makes it much more firm inside. Isn't it? Say for example, just to give you a small example, that we went for a feast, and in the feast, there was sweet rice. Sweet rice was prepared very well. Everything was fantastic. So, while eating the sweet rice, you are the experiencer, you are experiencing the taste of the sweet rice and a strong vasana inside thinking that it was absolutely wonderful. The sweet rice was wonderful. After the feast is over, you've gone home and you're still thinking about the sweet rice. How beautiful, how the taste it was, the taste of that. So what happens? Biliyasi. The mind is giving a firm footing to all that thoughts that has come from that. So it says here, Manaprasude vishayan masheshan stulatmana sushmadaya cha bhoktu. It enjoys, mind enjoys in gross level as well as in a subtle level the pleasures what it gets from the senses. What it gets from the senses. Sharira varnashrama jadi bhedan. Sharira varnashrama jadi bhedan. Differences of body, caste, order of life and tribe as well as the varieties of qualification, action, means, results. Guna kriya hedu bhalani nityam. All these things, whether what we experience is all projection of the mind, isn't it? Generally in our mind we consider somebody is a rich person or based on the body we differentiate between people or based on the background we differentiate people. Background or based on the different bodily identities we differentiate people, isn't it? In our daily life. Where does this coming from? Action, varieties of qualifications, actions, means and results, everything. Such enjoyment is sharira varnashrama jadi bhedan. Varnam ashramam jadi. Gunakriya hedu bhalani nityam. Based on their gunam, kriya, bhalam. All these things are nityam. We are doing this all because of this mind. Manaprasude vishayana sheshan stulatmana sushmadayacha bhoktor sharira varnashama jadi vedan gunakriya hedu bhalani nityam. It says, then then so deluding this jiva asangram asanga jindrubam mamum vimohyam. The mind puts you into this delusion, puts you into these delusions, and the mind causes it to wander. Dehendriya prana guner guner nibaddham. That deham, indriyam, manasa, pranan. ദേഹേന്ദ്രിയ പ്രാണ ഗുണേർ നിബന്ധം and aham mameti brahmamatya jastram, then it brings not only with the mind, sorry, not only with the body, senses and pranan, and then the qualities are associated with that and pranan, the mind causes it to wander with ideas of me and mine. Aham mameti brahmayatya ajastram manasvakrityeshu phalobhuktishu, that emits the way enjoyment of results achieved by itself. How mind keeps us busy. Mind engages us, manas, mind is the one which engages the body, the senses, indriyam, the senses, pranan, everything. Pranan is the energy that is coming, and it's also controlled by the mind. Mind is controlling that as well. How much energy we should spend on something is decided by the mind. And aham mana, aham mameti brahmayatya ajasram. While engaging in all these different kinds of activities related to the body, senses, pranan and everything, and the qualities, when it is bound very strongly by all that, inside it is creating me and mine. Me and mine. It is creating this feeling also. Aham mameti brahmayati ajasram. That it is a constant flow of thought happening through inside. Ajasram manasvakrityeshu phalobhuktishu. That, and again, after the activities are conducted, whenever the results come from that, are also it makes you feel that you have done it and created the result. So where is all this coming from? When we go and we have to work outside in this world, and when we are absorbed in all kinds of work, and constantly it is this mind who is active behind it, isn't it? When the results come, the mind immediately is the cause behind it. Otherwise, why should we get so attached to the results? Because the mind is behind it. That's what it is happening. Aham mameti, me and mine and the results. That's why you can imagine all these things are happening in a very extremely subtle level inside. We are not even conscious of all these things. And we are trying to move away from the platform of the mind to the platform of the soul, isn't it? For the spiritual platform. So person who is trying to move to the spiritual platform, he has all these obstacles before him. He has all these obstacles before him. It is not that so simple that you can do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. It is impossible. That is why this chanting the holy name and constantly praying to Krishna that let this mind not disturb me. Let this not mind take control of me. That is where we have to hand over to Krishna. Our control has to hand over to Krishna. This is why only Krishna can change this situation within us. That's why I say, aham mameti brahmayatya ajasram manapsavrityeshu bhalobhavungtishu. And then, what else? Adhyasa doshan purushasya samsruti swadhyaya bandha stavmurnaiva kalpidam rajastamo dosha vado vivegino janmadidu tasya dukhasya nidanametat. So, adhyasa doshal purushasya samsruti. This, our whole problem, the body problem is this, that we have, our identity has shifted from the soul to the body, isn't it? From soul to the body. And we just don't know how to go back from body to the soul again. This is our problem. So, how did this happen and how did we get so firmly established in the body? In the Shastram, the word used is adhyasam. Adhyasam means man's time, because of that, because of this shift from soul to the body, transmigration we are experiencing. Remember that the people will ask this question, is this transmigration real? Isn't it? They'll ask this question because everybody don't believe in the transmigration of the soul. Is it not? In the whole world, if you take, that people who follow the Vedic tradition, they accept transmigration. But those who are not in the Vedic tradition, they may not accept transmigration of the soul. They'll say it is some weird idea. The Shastric answer, proper understanding is like this. In one sense it is real, and in one sense it's not real. It's not an absolute thing. That's the point. If you move on to the spiritual platform, no, there is no transmigration. If you are purely in identification with the soul, there is no transmigration of the soul. But When you are in the conditioned state, under the confluence of the mind, intelligence, senses and false ego, you are in transmigration state. That's what it is. You are in transmigration state. So when you have to reply that question, those people who are asking this question, they don't differentiate these things. They are simply asking from the bodily level this question, isn't it? They may say that, oh, in our religion there is no transmigration. We believe after we leave the body, we go to heaven. Or go into some other higher planets or whatever it is. They have that understanding. They don't accept transmigration. Sages have analyzed much deeper all these things. In their deepest level, they are seeing things. They're not seeing, those who are speaking like that, they're only seeing from a very superficial level. They have no idea that mind, intelligence, false ego, chittam, all these are a part of you. And you cannot, it is because within their control only you are in bondage. Otherwise you are not in bondage. But so because, and that bondage is, Krishna is saying, that is actually not real also. Gunasya mena maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. Because of the presence of maya only, that is bandham and moksham is experienced by the experiencer. He's experiencing because of the maya, presence of maya. Once we have freed ourselves from the maya, those things actually don't exist also. It is true that they don't exist. What the other say is also true. But as long as we are in this bodily identity, we are identification with the body and mind and everything, they do exist. You cannot write them off. That is why in Bhikshu Gita, if you read that first verse itself, what Bhikshu is saying is this, that once I have moved away, manaparam karana mamanandi, all these things is only due to the presence of the mind. Samsara chakra parivartayabul. The samsara chakram or the wheel of samsara material existence is rotating because of this thing called the mind inside. What's the thing called the mind inside? In other religious processes, they don't give importance to this mind so much, do they? They all think we are all good people in this world. Everyone is a gentleman. We'll all go back together, whatever we do here. This is very, very understanding on a much superficial level. But the sages are gone deeper into these subjects and they have analyzed it in such a depth. They will very clearly tell us that the manaparam karanam amanandi, as long as the mind is there, you have no freedom. You are not free to do anything. You are completely under the control of the mind. And that dosham, that defect is called adhyasam. That's what it's mentioned here. Adhyasa doshal purushasa samsrati. And adhyasa bandham stavamuneiva kalpidam. Tamuneiva kalpidam. Adhyasa bandham it is called. Adhyasam. Adhyasam means that somehow or the other I have decided and determined and came to this conclusion that I am this body. I am this body. And that is called adhyasa bandham tamuneiva kalpidam. And a bondage of superimposition is created within myself. And it is this that causes the misery of birth, etc. For the man of... and this will only happen in the state of rajas and tamas. Whenever there is rajas and tamas inside a person, these things will happen. What is that? Rajas tamo dosham vado avivegino. Avivegi. One who has no discrimination, who has influenced by rajas and tamas, janmadi dukhasa nidana metam. He has to go through janmadi dukhasa. Janmadi means, janma means birth, death, old age, disease. All these four things, birth, death, old age and disease, all that is existing for nidana metam, it only happens to avivegi. Avivegi means one who has no discrimination. One who has no discrimination. Yeah. So then the next words. Adaprahur mano avidyam. Panditas tattva darshina. Yena iva brahmide vishyam vayuneva brahmandalam. That is important. Vayuneva brahmandalam. He says, adaprahur mano vidyam. And the sages, what they have said was, panditas tattva darshina. Panditas, who are realized souls or great personalities, Tattva Darshina, who are Pandita Tattva Darshina. Pandita is scholar. Tattva Darshina means one who has seen the truth. What they have concluded is, Ada Prahur Mano Vidyam. Avidya. Avidya is nothing but, the mind is called avidya or ignorance. Ignorance is the English translation, but avidya is the actual word. Avidya and the mind is the cause of all these things. The secret is, its secret have designated the mind as avidya, by which alone enaiva brahmyade vishwam. And like the clouds are moved by the wind, similarly this whole world is moved around in front of us. While we are experiencing that we are moving from this world, another planet to another planet, all these things, feeling of changing the bodies, all this is created by this mind alone. It says here, and it is that is what is called avidya in Shastram. This mind is called avidya in Shastram. In Shastram, mind is called avidya. Avidya is such a thing. Avidya is not only what we talk about, this ignorance in the world. Avidya is a very subtle level, how much deep that ignorance is inside. That is avidya. There are many symptoms of that. The major one being that the identification with the body instead of the soul. But again, that due to that, there is so many other features related to avidya. Tanmana shodhanam karyam prayatnena mumukshuna vishuddhe sadichaidasmin mumuktir karabhalayateng. Tanmana shodhanam karyam. So the first thing it is spoken is here is tanmana shodhanam karyam. First thing we have to purify the mind. Carefully purify the mind. Prayatnena mumukshuna, one who is seeking for liberation, one who wants to free oneself and come to the spiritual realization. And prayatnena mumukshuna, one who is looking for that, he should put all his efforts to purify this mind. Vishuddhe sadichaidasmin mukti karabhalayade. When the mind is purified, liberation is as easy of access as a fruit on the palm of one's hand. Karabhalayade. That's an expression in Sanskrit, that when something is right in your hand like this, it is the most accessible thing, isn't it? So they'll say like this, mumukshu karabhalayade. Just like you have something you got it in your hand, we say like that, isn't it? So similarly, moksham or liberation, you got it already in your hand if your mind is purified. Mind is purified means what? That's the question, isn't it? Mind is purified means mind has come to satugunam. That's what it means. Satugunam has come. And this will only happen if we take this, and the most powerful, we are talking about sadhana now, if you remember. I mentioned in two ways this can happen. Which one? These desires will go from inside. One, when you are experiencing a lot of distress in this world, one after the other, what will happen is, inside a renunciation will develop in a natural way. In a natural way, it develops. And that renunciation will turn you into proper spiritual consciousness when you are in the association of satsangam. When you are in satsangam, that will turn your mind into in that direction. Your mind will become detached to everything and you will learn the difference between the soul and the mind and the problems that mind is causing. That's one way. The second option is through sadhana, where we are seeing everything that is created in this world and we take this deeper understanding that the world is experienced by me inside because of the presence of the mind. Both this thing called the mind as well as the world outside has manifested from the soul. From the soul. And here, Moksha, it says here that adha prahur manovidyam panditasa darshina yeneva brahmide vishyam vayuneva brahmandalam tan manashodhanam karyam prayatnena mumukshana vishuddhe sadichaidasmin chadasmin mukti karabhalayade. For such a person, liberation is possible, it says here. Mokshega shaktya visheshura agam nirmulya sanyasya sarva karmam sachadayaya shravanadi nishto rajasobhavam sadunodi buddhem. Dunodi buddhi. It says, Mokshega saktya visheshura agam. One who, with his deep commitment for liberation, deep commitment for freedom from this state of existence, roots out the attachment to sense objects. If he has managed to, through knowledge, if he has developed this deep sense of renunciation from sense enjoyment. That means not allowing the senses to wander in their own way, but able to control them at the right time. Sense object, due to the roots of the attachment for sense object, renounces all actions. Narmulya sanyasaja sarvakarmam. And with faith in the real understanding of the truth, sa shraddhayaya shravanadi nishto. He gives importance to hearing process. You see, shravanam is mentioned in the Vedanta philosophy, in Vedas everywhere. Shrodavya mandavya nididhyasidavya. Upanishads are saying like that. Shravanam mananam nididhyasanam. Shrodavya mandavya nididhyasidavya. This is the process in the Vedantam. That hearing first, then mananam, reflection on that, and nididhyasanam. After reflection, whatever the under conclusions you have come to, able to hold on to that without losing that again. That's called nididhyasanam. So, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, this is the process. Out of these three, even the mananam and nididhyasanam also is not given so much importance, unlike shravanam. Shravanam is given the highest importance because shashradhyaya shravanadi nishto. One who has got nishta in hearing, it is such a beautiful explanation in the Bhagavadam, these things. These are mostly theories spoken. Krishna gives us the importance here that through shravanam alone, through hearing process, you didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. That simply through the hearing process, people have achieved perfection in this world. Imagine that. What is that? They went and sat and listened to this discussion about the soul from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam. And Krishna is saying to us that the so many examples in the Bhagavadam, through simply by hearing process, one can get liberated from this world. And the finest example is Bhagavadam itself, isn't it? Parikshit. Who else is the best example? Parikshit was a king. He had to go through all his administration work, what he has to do as a king. And up to the last minute, 7 days before he left this world, he was engaged in activities like the Rajasic activity, what he was engaged in, like hunting in the forest, which is a Rajasic activity, isn't it? You may say it is a Kshatriya duty and all that. That is fine. And Parikshit did not go like the kings in the past. He did not go to the forest. Nothing didn't happen. Even 7 days before leaving the body, he was engaged in Rajasic activity. And it is that Parikshit, in 7 days' time, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam and he realized the truth. At the end of 7 days, he realized the truth. So imagine the power of hearing. We do not really understand how powerful this hearing process is, how quickly it can ignite that self-realization inside strongly, the soul's presence inside. Krishna gives a lot of importance to that in the Bhagavatam when he speaks about that. Then, mochaika shaktya visayeshu ragam nirmulya sanyasya sarva karma sa shraddhayaya shravanadi nishto rajasvabhavam na dhunodi buddhi. It is through shravanam process that buddhi intelligence loses its rajasvabhavam, rajogunam. Rajogunam will go away from buddhi if shravanam process is strong. If shravanam is strong, that rajogunam will go. Because that's the only way, Shastram says. As I mentioned before, when one is so much rajogunam inside, it is even difficult to capture what Krishna has spoken. Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam. That's why rajasvabhavam sa dhunodi buddhe. The buddhi is freed from his influence of the rajogunam. Influence of the rajogunam is taken away from that by the rajasic nature of the intellect is taken away by shravanam process. Manomayo na vibhavet para atma adhyatva abhirani vibhavad dukhatva karmadi dukhatma gatva vishaya atma hedo dveshtahi drushya atmanaya na drushtaha. Mental sheath is also not our real identity. Because when we talk about these five senses, manamayam, annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, jnanamayam, anandamayam, The mental sheath is also not our identity because it has a beginning and an end. The mental sheath has a beginning and an end. You can see sometimes the mental sheath gets very strong and sometimes it comes down, isn't it? He is subject to modification, his character is characterized by pain and suffering, and is an object, whereas the subject can never be identified with the objects of knowledge. The subjects cannot be identified with the objects of knowledge. Soul is independent completely. It is not affected by any of these things. So, when we say these things, so this process, we have talked about this, that the soul, from the soul, the mind has manifested. Manas tvam vyoma tvam marudasi. How the mind is born inside a person. First, from the soul, it comes out like a bud. It starts flowering up. And that is a dream state. That's the dream state. When we, in the dream state, what's actually happening is the mind is given the highest power, the highest capacity. And as soon as you come to Jagrat state, it brings in front of you many names and many forms and so many desires for sense enjoyment. All this is happening in the vacant state, isn't it? Not in the dream state. Then, and this mind, which from this all these things have come out, the mind in the dream state, when it comes to the mind in the vacant state, more things are added on to it, isn't it? More things are added on to it. In the dream state, the mind is limited. Although mind alone is active, it's limited. But as soon as the mind gets the opportunity to perceive this world, Vishayavasana and also Namarupam, they all come about. That means different names, different forms, different people, different products, different objects, and all desires for enjoyment. This all the mind has expanded. So this is how mind, when it originates from Sushupti, it comes to dream state, and from dream to deep sleep to dream state, and deep sleep to Jagrat, the mind is constantly expanding. Mind, because it gets more food to expand itself. So in Jagrat state, although mind is not the only controller, there are other things like the chit potency is also acting there, buddhi is also acting there. The mind is its own state of dream state, which where mind alone is the controller. But mind is more powerful when it comes to the vacant state. This is another thing. In the dream state, it is not as powerful, because although it is only controls us at that state, it is in Jagrat state, it becomes more powerful because at that point, mind is also experiencing the world outside and also different forms of individuals and different the living entity. So many things happens for the mind to experience. So, if one can see this, that the origin of the mind, and then see that all the emotions what we are experiencing here is also a product of the mind, then all those experiences can become a yoga. Can become a yoga. That means vigaram. Vigaram means, in the Shastram, the words are very precise. Vigaram means not exactly emotions. Vigaram means the change that is happening inside us. From our latent state in deep sleep, when the soul is in extreme bliss, unaffected by any of this material existence, it keeps on developing into the Jagrat state, where it comes to this experience of the world, experiences of, by then a lot of changes have happened inside, isn't it? In us, a lot of changes have happened. These changes are called vigaram. Vigaram means how the soul is moved and takes this form of the gross body, the mind, intelligence, senses, everything, and in the vacant state. In the vacant state, how it exists. That is through vigaram it has happened. So that vigaram can become a yoga. Yoga experience, yoga anubhavam it's called. How does that happen? In the Lalita Sahasranamam, it is mentioned like this, that all the good emotions, what we experience, like mercy, truthfulness, and things like that, as well as the bad emotions, like anger, lust, greed, they are all nothing but a manifestation of the Maya's power in us. Maya's power in us. If a devotee can see these things in that way, it will become a yoga. It will become a yoga system. Otherwise, if we are completely controlled by them, then we have lost it. We won't be able to control them. And the example given is this time. Positive as well as the negative emotions inside. Okay, everything is coming from origination. Origin of all these things is that power of Maya. That just like this, that in the ocean you have water. And in the water there is all these waves building up, isn't it? All the waves are building up. And waves is also water, but in another form. Similarly, mind is also is another wave in the soul that has come out from the soul. It is not different from the soul. And what it creates is, the mind creates a feeling inside there is two. Duality comes from this. You see, we talk about duality, isn't it? Duality means heat, cold, happiness, distress, black and white, boy and girl. These are all dualities, isn't it? Dualities. Strictly speaking, there should be no duality, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, it mentions that, dvandvam, dvandvam. Krishna also talks about that, going beyond the dualities, isn't it? There is a, in the dvandva atitan, he calls in the Bhagavad Gita. Atita means one who has transcended the duality, dvandva atitan. So, dvandva atitan is that person who has gone beyond the duality. And where did the duality come from? Duality came from the mind. Duality came from the mind. When we, in our normal conversation, we say that, oh, it's a duality of the mind, we say. But we just don't know how to get over that, isn't it? Or the duality. Duality, you can only go beyond the duality when you come to the spiritual platform. When all these things are properly taken into consideration. That, so, this, mind is nothing but a manifestation from the soul. Manifestation from the soul. So if we understand that it is not different from the soul, and if we understand and keep a complete control on this situation inside what's going on, even when the mind gets fickle or when the gut gets disturbed over that, it will not affect us. And that is what Krishna is saying there, Prajahadi Yada Kaman. The yogis have spoken to us, they through their various processes, they are doing that, isn't it? Yamam, Nemam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, all these processes are meant for controlling the mind only, up to the point of Dhyanam. Is Yamam, Nemam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam. Up to that, it is controlling the mind. Now, Shamam, Damam, Tidiksha, Uparadi, Shraddha, Samadhanam. Six things. This is connected with the Jiva. Similarly, Aishwaryam, Viryam, Yashasa, Shri, Jnanam, Vairagyam, connected with Krishna. If you know these things, the Jiva has got six qualities. Krishna has also got six things. Krishna's qualities are Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasa, Shri, Jnanam, Vairagyam. Six of them. Aishwaryam, Viryam, Yashasa, Shri, Jnanam, Vairagyam. Six things. Or Krishna's quality. If you remember, that's why Krishna is called Bhagavan, isn't it? Bhagam. These are the six bhagas. That relates to Krishna. For the soul, what is for the individual soul in our Jiva state, we need is Shamam, Damam, Tidicha, Uparadi, Shraddha, Samadhanam. These six things. These should be practiced for the soul to free oneself from the conditioned state. Shamam is the control of the mind. Damam is the control of the senses. Then Tidicha, we know. What Tidiksha means, isn't it? That Tidiksha means to tolerate everything in this world. So, like this, here says here, that Prajahadi Yada Kaman, if this is practiced this way, this is one way of practicing it, how to control the mind, to see that the mind is not different from the soul, it has come from the soul, and it has to go back in the same way. And not allowing the mind to grow. And in the Jagrat state, it is much more powerful. And all the dualities we are experiencing in the Jagrat state because of the presence of the mind. And if with this deeper understanding is inside, if all this thing is properly heard and thought about, then desires for enjoyment will also go away from inside. Prajahadi Yada Kaman. Krishna is saying there. that you can stop this karma building up inside. Sarvan Partha Manogadan. It's all the mind that has created this. If that deeper understanding is there, then we should be able to check that. That is one possibility, one way of doing that. The other way of doing that is that if it is not possible, that at least to hold the mind in one place. Instead of allowing that to wander around all over, I'll allow the mind to hold on to one place. And that is what chanting does. When we are chanting the holy name, after a while you will see that the mind stops its wandering nature. So therefore, this sadhana process of chanting the holy name is a very powerful process, provided we follow it through all the time. One has to chant the holy name. Because if you don't chant, the mind will go like this. And it is very difficult in that mind, all this knowledge to develop. If the mind is not peaceful, if the mind is not in shanti or in a peaceful state, and if the mind is not under control, Krishna is saying sthita prajnatam won't happen. In order to become sthita prajna, Krishna is saying here, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Mind must come to a stop. The mind should not grow anymore. And atmanyeva atmana tushta. If that happens, what happens? Atmanyeva atmana tushta. You get satisfied within the soul. The spiritual happiness will come at that point. So it says that in Shastram they'll give different examples. Only if you have seen this, I don't know whether you have seen this, what generally they do, you know the elephant, when it has been captured from the forest, all these examples are in relationship with the life in India, most of them. And most of them, especially the life in the villages, because acharyas have always spoken to the villages. Those days, the cities didn't exist. Everywhere people lived in the villages, isn't it? So examples what they have given is also examples from the villages to make people to recognize these things, to easily connect with that. When they bring the elephants from the forest, after they have captured the elephant has got this nature. If he sees something very nice to eat, it will immediately lift its trunk and pull it out. It won't ask anyone. So what happens is, normally when they take the elephant through the street, both sides there are shops. And in the shops, they'll be hanging out fruits, isn't it? Bananas and all other kinds of fruits. Elephants are fond of bananas also. Very ripe bananas, if they see, they won't be able to resist. So the mahouts who are controlling the elephant, they are taking the elephant through the street. And suddenly, before the elephant mahouts could do anything, the trunk has gone and pulled the fruits from the shop. So the shopkeeper will be very upset, isn't it? All his fruits are taken away. They didn't take one or two, it takes the whole bunch and goes inside in one lot. The whole thing is gone. So mahouts know these things very well, that it is difficult to control the elephant at that moment because he has not been trained that well that he will free himself from that habit. So what they do, before they start the journey, they will cut this food for the elephant, which is a particular type of, similar to coconuts, but it's another tree, palm tree like thing. And the leaves are very delicious and they love that. So what they'll do, they will cut the leaf, but the leaf comes in huge pieces. It's just like a huge firewood like piece, big piece. They cut it, but they don't slice it into small pieces. They'll cut it and make a bunch of it and give it to the elephant. So the elephant has to hold it between the trunk and the two tusks. It will put it underneath between that, hold it like this, and it has to walk with that so that it won't put its hand on something else. It knows that it's going to eat this afterwards. So artificially means in a very natural way, the mahout controls the elephant by putting this underneath this huge bunch to the elephant and tell the elephant to pick it up straight away before starting the journey. Once it has picked up, it has to hold it like this, otherwise it will fall. So because this is more tasty than the fruit in the street, the elephant is careful to hold on to this. The elephant psychology, the mahout knows that, the psychology of the elephant. So it holds on to it very tightly and it walks through the street without disturbing anyone till it reaches the destination. As soon as it reaches the destination, it drops it, and then for hours together you will see you'll be standing there eating this this palm tree's leaf, palm leaf, whatever that is, is eating very happily. Hours together he will stand there without giving trouble to anyone. So in a similar way, he says here that somehow or the other, if our mind gets attached to the holy name, to chanting the holy name, this mind will not go the way it goes out nowadays. As soon as this chanting the holy name becomes a habit with each of us, eventually it will stay as the food for the soul. It will stay inside. And every time when we have to mind is wandering around, the holy name will bring it back to the chanting process again. It will bring it back. So this is the another process, what happens inside, that eventually chanting the holy name will take us to self-realization. Why? Because throughout chanting, what will happen is that by the chanting process alone, identification with the rest of the world will leave us. And it has no other option except to go back to the soul, where it has come from. So, this mind is considered to be something that is a big block in front of the soul. Anirvachaniyam, anirvachaniya shakti. It means anirvachaniyam, that which cannot be defined. You cannot define the mind, can you? Nobody can define the mind, what the mind is. Then, so in order to keep this mind away in our approach to the soul, whichever process suits a person, he can take that, either the yoga process or the chanting the holy name process, or through vairagyam process, like we said before, through the heavy distressful experiences of this world, through shravanam, this can happen. But in the sadhana process, the important process is this chanting the holy name. Through chanting process, little by little, we will be able to withdraw from this world and the influence of the mind. That is why the power of the chanting. Chanting process, different people have spoken in different ways about this. That simply by chanting, eventually, if it becomes very deep absorption in chanting, eventually the mind will not play any role in our life. It will become completely released from all the impact of the mind. So, it says here, Prajahadiyada kaman sarvan parthamano gadan alpanye valpana tushta. Up to now, whenever we say happiness, distress, what we are experiencing is all through the mind, isn't it? Only through the mind we can experience happiness and distress. And once this internal system starts working, that means the mind is not any more powerful. Mind has come under control. And inside, a new revelation happens in such a way that there is another happiness which is not connected with the mind. And that is what we have to experience in spiritual life also. When we start experiencing that happiness from the soul, and that will only happen when we are constantly absorbed in this process, that the happiness that we experience in the world outside is through the mind. It's the mind only that gives us happiness and distress both. But when the happiness, one time it will tell us that there is no happiness in this world, either through sadhana or through renunciation, vairagyam, it comes and we realize that point, that then we will experience another happiness inside which we have not experienced through the mind, and we will know that it is not coming through the mind. There will be a big difference between the happiness that is experienced through the mind and the happiness that's coming from the soul. So Krishna is saying here, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. That manogada means through the mind, what you had experienced through in the form of desires, sada kaman sarvan partha manogadan, almanyeva almana tushta. That at some point, almanyeva almana tushta, you will experience that the happiness of the soul. That is Krishna's point. Almanyeva almana tushta, sthidadhir munirucchade. Such a person is, intelligence is sthidadhi. Sthidadhi, it is called sthidadhi. That means he is situated in the platform of spiritual realization. So, if that happens, what what will happen is that just like anything what we are experiencing through the senses, we don't want it anymore. This is the beauty of that state. Whatever we have found happiness in this world previously, through the mind, which means through the senses, that happiness, you want to give it up. You don't want it. You don't find any happiness in that. Why? Because there is a higher happiness that has been experienced by the soul. So that is at the point that that is not very difficult to understand also. That is the way Krishna is putting it to us. It's not difficult to experience also. So without any influence of the senses, without the help of any of these senses, as you know, in the vacant state, everything that you are feeling happiness in this world has come through senses, isn't it? Say, for example, you acquired a lot of wealth, and that wealth has given you a false security in this world. Again, the mind is acting at that time. Mind is creating that thought inside, a false security from the wealth. Similarly, a false security from the fame. You became very famous in this world. Some people, they have a strong desire to become famous. So, a false security from the security or illusion that creates. Who creates that? The mind is creating that. None of them are real, isn't it? The fame is not real. The wealth is not real. A false security it creates inside. And that is done by the mind. So in the same way, if you look, you can see there that anything that is experienced in this world in that way, through the mind and the senses, they're always temporary. Sometimes you can see somebody becomes very famous, and then the very next moment, his whole life is completely shattered. Completely get shattered. There are many, many examples. Big celebrities, you can look. Just see this now with this, what goes on about this Tiger Woods, what you see in the paper. That at one point he has been so powerful and very famous and very wealthy. Now everyone is pounding on him for all. So the whole thing becomes a shamble at the end. So it's the same thing with everyone, in a big scale or on a small scale, isn't it? It happens to all of us. So what it means is that anything that comes from material life through mind and senses can never be permanent. It's not possible. Great personalities. Mahatma Gandhiji did so much for the freedom and all that. And the very, very personalities who glorified him killed him at the end. So this is why, this is the problem with the material nature. Material nature, anything you try to do with it, eventually it will be distressed at the end. You can never say it will stay forever in the same way. Sarvan Partha Manogalan. So similarly, but only from these activities in this world outside, there we are deriving happiness in this world, isn't it? When you make money, you feel happy. When you become famous, you feel happy. And similarly, various kinds of sense enjoyments. You feel happy from that, isn't it? But all those happiness, Krishna is saying, will come and will go. It cannot stay. But this is because these happiness have come through the senses and the mind. Now, there is one happiness which every day we are experiencing without the help of the mind and without the help of the senses. Krishna is doing that to us every day to make us realize that the proper happiness is not through mind and senses. That is why every night, Krishna, we leave all these things behind, isn't it? We leave the mind, we leave the senses, and we go into deep sleep state. And in that deep sleep, we didn't have mind, we didn't have senses. And all that what you have experienced in that deep sleep is just happiness. Nobody can deny this, can he? Nobody can deny that. Nobody has said so far, after having a good deep sleep, he came out and said, I had a miserable night. Has anyone said that? Not so far to any one of us can say that, isn't it? That is, nobody will say like that. If you had a good deep sleep at night, when you wake up in the morning, you feel that some refreshment, rejuvenation has happened to us. Isn't it? Some rejuvenation has happened to us. How did that happen? The mind wasn't there. The senses wasn't there. But a very, very powerful rejuvenation has happened to us just during the sleep at night. And in the Upanishads, that is where it says there, it is that point when we leave this body, leave the mind, leave the senses, everything, and goes back to Krishna. We meet Krishna at that time. And Krishna embraces us and sends us back again here the next morning. He comes back again here. That nobody has said, I was in distress after having a good sleep, isn't it? So you can see from here, when the mind dissolves, nothing was heard, nothing was seen, nothing was touched, nothing was smelled, nothing was tasted, nothing happened. But without all that, and you have come out from that in happy mood, without doing any of these things, without doing any of these sensual activities, you have come out happily from that. And not only that, when you are in deep sleep, somebody wakes you up, you are not happy about that either. Isn't it? You're not happy about that. So, you will get angry with the people who woke you up from, I was in deep sleep, especially children, you should say. When they go to sleep at night, they don't know anything, they're just going by the body, isn't it? Body is telling them to sleep, they're tired, they sleep at night. And in the morning, when you wake them up, or you have to go to school, get up now, get ready, they'll say, I only just went to sleep now, a few hours ago. They grumble about that. Why? Because the happiness he was experiencing in that state, he's not getting it even after waking up. He knows once he wake up, it's only misery after that. Even if whatever happiness he gets here, he will not feel the same happiness that he has experienced in the night in the deep sleep. So don't reject this deep sleep as though it's a state of ignorance. We all have that habit. Oh, I was in deep sleep. I was a terrific ignorance and all. We make saying that as though we are in fully realized state in the Jagran state, the way we talk about it. But the sad thing is, it is in that deep sleep only this experience, we are able to discriminate very clearly that proper happiness is not through the senses and the mind. Proper happiness is not through the senses and the mind. This clarity must happen to us first. That somehow or the other we have misunderstood that it is through mind and senses only we can enjoy. Isn't it? So this is the point Krishna is making, that in deep sleep, in the Bhagavatam you will see, Krishna talks about this repeatedly, stressing this point. Jagral sapna sushiptincha nivrutto gunavartaya sashal vilakshano jiva sakshitvena vinischida. 13th chapter. Krishna will say when Hamsagidam is spoken, that sakshitvena vinischida, that you are not taking into account these things, Krishna is saying. What is that? That sakshal vilakshano jiva. Jiva, in its realized state, he doesn't need any of these things. Mind, senses, intelligence and all. It doesn't require that. It's only in the conditioned state, it has got all these things. And superior to this happiness, what is coming through all these things, is proper happiness, almanyeva almanatushta. When the soul is in the realized state, that is the proper happiness. That's why Krishna is making. So here, the important thing is that whatever distress is there, we have in life, if you have fallen into deep sleep, the distress is gone. Isn't it? The distress is immediately gone. This was discussed in Brihadaranya Upanishad. In very detail, they discussed this topic. We tend to write it off, saying that it's nothing important. Oh, it's not so important. Everything important in the Jagrat. In Brihadaranya Upanishad, the whole discussion is in the deep sleep. What happens? They are not bothered what happens in Jagrat. Jagrat is not important for them. So there, in Brihadaranya Upanishad, King Janaka discusses this. And without our knowledge, the mind goes and dissolves in Krishna. Krishna means the soul. It goes and dissolves there. And that happens without our knowledge, isn't it? Without our knowledge, the mind is gone and dissolved in the soul in the night. If with knowledge, if the mind goes and dissolves, it's called samadhi. That's the difference. One way or the other, the mind has to go. Mind has to get dissolved. In the night, it is happening every night. Without our knowledge, it's going and getting dissolved. But with our full knowledge, if the mind goes and gets dissolved like that in the soul, then it's called samadhi. It's called samadhi. And Krishna, out of his mercy, compassion to us, because he is seeing that every day, after a whole day of activity with the mind and senses, we get exhausted. We get exhausted. And so Krishna takes us and gives us an embrace in the sleep. He gives us an embrace. He embraces us in the sleep. And just like the example is given in Brahmanyam, it says like this, just like a mother, when the little child, when it has got some problems, it suffers and falls down or fights with someone. And what does the mother do? Mother brings the child, puts on the lap, gives a hug, and pacifies the child, isn't it? And then let him go again. Allows the child to go back and play again. While playing, all sorts of things happens, isn't it? Sometimes it falls down. Sometimes it fights with another children. And some kind of distress it experiences. So what does the mother do? Mother takes the child, puts the child on the lap, and pacifies the child, gives a hug, and makes him feel comfortable, and sends him back again. It's exactly like that, what Krishna does to us in the night, in the deep sleep state. That when we went back to Swarupam, our proper identity as the soul, that we feel so much refreshed. That's why we're feeling refreshed when we come out. One doctor has mentioned this also about that many, many illnesses, do you know that? Many, many illnesses, they say, you just sleep. Just sleep for 2 or 3 days well. You can also see that sometimes you catch some certain time, like a flu or a sign of headache and things like that. If we simply stop all activities and go to lie down, simply rest and sleep, you will see you get rejuvenated back again. You get rid of that illness itself. Many doctors have these experiences. They have noticed that it doesn't require any treatment actually. It doesn't require any treatment. It is in the Rajogunam that we think that everything has to be treated. All illnesses are not to be treated. The Vedantam is telling us that there is a natural way of cure, and that happens in the deep sleep state. And that cure is this, that the distress what you are experiencing through bodily discomforts or bodily uneasiness, lot of it can be resolved if we go into the deep sleep state where you can experience that happiness with the super soul, with Krishna. That sometimes the sleep has got a great healing power. Why? What is the difference between samadhi and the deep sleep? There is a difference between there also. Samadhi is that state where you sleep without any vasanas inside. See, what happens is, when we go into deep sleep state, that vasanas are still there. They have somehow dissolved, but they're still there. They're not gone away. Because the mind is dissolved, vasanas also have to stay back. Vasanas is inside the mind, isn't it? Mind is nothing but chittam. So, this is because it is dissolved at that time. The samadhi state, in the deep sleep state, we are sleeping, experiencing the bliss, but the vasanas are still there. Now, if you can sleep like that, if you can stay in that state of consciousness without vasanas, then it is called a samadhi. That means that it mentions like this, that if you are existing in this world, even in the Jagrat state, but if there is no vasanas inside, you are in samadhi. You are in samadhi. Because samadhi state, what you are looking at is not at the body. You are looking inside the mind. Inside the mind, what's happening? If the mind is gone also, then for example, body is functioning in this world. For example, I'm sitting here. The body is sitting there. The body is not causing any problem. Problem is inside the mind, how it's functioning. How the mind is functioning. So this you can only understand that, to take the example is given like the babies. Have you noticed one important thing? When the babies sleep, their vasanas have not come out completely. Isn't it? The vasanas are not completely. So that is why if you look at babies, these are things very interesting to look at. When the babies wake up, you look at their faces, how refreshed they are. how refreshed they look, the babies. Why is that? Because they had no vasanas inside. Vasanas are all in the Karana Shariram. It's not come to the Sushma Shariram yet. Because they are in the Karana Shariram or the causal body, they have not come to the Sushma Shariram. That is why, because they have slept without vasanas affecting them, that their deep sleep was very, very effective. That's why when they wake up, they look so beautiful. When they wake up, absolutely no tension in the face. Think about us when we wake up in the morning, what we look like. We look like some ghosts have woken up, isn't it? All the tension in the mind in the night, all what we have gone through in the night, all that manifests in the face itself in the morning. That's why when we wake up, we want to sit for some time before this devil mood has to leave us, to come to some soberness in us. Isn't it? You can see this practically in life. That the babies, when they wake up, they look so beautiful at that time. When you look at their faces, so fresh, and they want to play, they are in happy mood to do so many things. But for us, when you wake up, oh, another day. Another day I have to live through in this world. This is how I'm waking up in the morning. I have to deal with so many situations, problems. So all the problems start coming one after the other. The whole day I have to deal with. Why is that? Because of the vasanas inside. Our sleep was like that. So without vasanas, if you sleep, that means without the mind, then it is samadhi state. But that samadhi is acceptable, is called samadhi only in the vacant state if that vasanas are not existing. There is a difference there. In the deep sleep, when you go, the mind automatically dissolves. It happens in a natural way. That is Krishna's mercy. Krishna has given us this one particular state. If he hasn't given us that state, imagine our existence in this world. Suppose this deep sleep state wasn't there. Whole day working, Jagrat state, and then dreaming, and then working again, coming back to work. So Krishna felt some compassion for us. So when he created these three states, a Sushupti state in between, so that at least in Sushupti, let this man have some peace inside. Jagrat and dream, he's not getting any peace in any way. He's going through all kinds of mental torture. So at least in Sushupti, he gave us this facility that you experience some happiness. So give us a little taste. Every day Krishna is doing this to us. Every day. And we all get some deep sleep, at least for an hour or two in the night, if not all the eight hours we sleep. But at least some deep sleep state, you experience this. And morning, he comes out. So all this is an indication to tell us that happiness is not based on the mind or the senses. That is the most important thing. That when we wake up, both of us have slept. And mind dissolves in both cases, in the baby's case as well as the adult's case. One's mind is sleeping in the bed of vasanas. Another person's mind is sleeping without any vasanas. It's not on the vasanas. That means the baby's mind. So that's why we say sannyasis also, or yati. Yati means muni. Muni means one who has practiced maunam, or one who has analyzed these things and withdrawn himself from the world of the mind. They are called yatis. So these yatis also, when they wake up, or great sannyasis, personalities who are very renounced and realized souls, in the great, I mentioned this before, in the great mutts, when they wake up in the morning, first thing we do, aarti for them. Why? Because we say that they have visited Kailasam or Vaikuntham in the night. Because in their deep sleep, they have not had any vasanas inside. They were free from all vasanas. Therefore, they were able to be with the super soul in the night. And they had experienced that. That's why when they wake up, we offer respects to them in this way. That if there is no vasanas, the mind will come back after experiencing that bliss. Ordinary people, normal people, they go with the vasanas there. They go with the vasanas. Both ordinary person and the realized soul, they go to the same destination at night. There is no difference. They go to the soul at night. But what is the difference? One person goes with the vasanas, another person goes without vasanas. So those who goes without the vasanas are this, in the case of babies as well as the realized souls, that's what happens. In the case of the ordinary people, conditioned soul, normally what happens is he goes with all the vasanas. Therefore, we say that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu story, if you take that, they came out from Vaikuntham with very powerful vasanas here, isn't it? When they came to this world, Hiranyaksha's first goal was to take control of the world, the earthly planet, isn't it? In Bhagavatam, when these stories are spoken, it is very much linked to self-realization. Don't separate them simply as pastimes and leave it like that. They're all connected with self-realization. That through the story is also telling us Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu's appearance. How come these two powerful personalities? Okay, just in the pastimes we will say that they made this offense to Kumaras. Therefore, they had to take birth like this as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. But question will come then: why did they think like doing like that? Why? What prompted them to do that? To offend the Kumaras? Like that. There was vasanas inside, there is no doubt. And when they came out from that Vaikuntham, they fell down to this to material world. Because when they fell down, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu has come with very, very powerful vasanas inside. That's why straight away Hiranyaksha started challenging. Where is Vishnu? Where is he? And then Varaha Avataram, all that thing is spoken after that. But what it is trying to say is, that if you go with vasanas, we will not be, even if you go with vasanas, if you come back from that deep sleep state back again, the vasanas will come back again and control us in our activities. We cannot escape from that. Although we experience the bliss at night in the deep sleep, when you wake up in the morning, still the vasanas are coming back and control us again. In both in Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu's Jaya Vijaya, they came down like that, isn't it? Very powerful vasanas they had inside. There's a book, actually, it's during the Second World War, one doctor, he was a little thoughtful person. So after in the battlefield, the wounded soldiers are brought back to the hospital, isn't it? Brought back to the hospital. So some of them had lost their legs, hands, different parts of the body. They have been injured heavily. And they have all been admitted to the hospital. And in the night, he was looking at them and thinking, all these people were experiencing so much misery. But in the deep sleep state, in the deep sleep, they all seem to have completely forgetfulness of their body, all the bodily miseries, bodily problems, nothing was affecting them. So he mentions this in a book about that. He says like that, that so the very people who are fighting for the body during the day, it was because of the bodily identity they had to fight. The soldiers had to go kill and fight and get killed and get injured. All these things happened. And these very same people in the night, they are throwing their body away and going and enjoying somewhere. So that's what he was saying. How is this possible? How is this possible? And he came to the conclusion that that this body is actually nothing to do with the soul. Body is nothing to do with the soul. This is how he was able to think just through his intelligence. And intelligence means his proper analysis, seeing the state of the situation right in front of him. He was able to analyze these things. And he mentions this in the books. So even after he experienced so much physical pain he was experiencing, still when he went to the deep sleep, he found that they were still peaceful and satisfied and completely at rest, everything. So he, from this, he is thinking that there must be something inside a person who is complete in itself, which doesn't require any support from outside to be happy. Why this is spoken is that we are thinking that the soul requires so many external support to make the soul happy. No, soul can be happy on its own without the external support from anywhere or any kind of external help. It can be happy. Purnam. It is Purnam. It is that Purnatvam. It is only the quality of the soul. Nobody else has that quality. Nothing in this world has that quality of Purnatvam. Purnatvam means perfection. Perfection means something that can be happy in itself without any external assistance. For us, normally in our life, we require help from so many things to become happy in this world. isn't it? That's our problem. That's why we are searching for happiness, which starts from the morning to night. This happiness goes on. But soul by itself has got a state of existence called happiness. Purnatvam. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. It is satisfied within the self. Self-satisfied, as they call, or Atmarama. We call it in the Bhagavatam. The word used is Atmarama. Atmarama means one who is situated in the soul. Without the help, external help of anything, it can be happy on its own. Siddhadhir Munirucchare. Krishna is saying, such a person is Siddhadhi. His intelligence is steady. That means that you can see how jnanis separate all these things out. In a very depth, they analyze these things. All Upanishads are discussing these things in depth. In order that we somehow or the other give up this understanding that our identification with the mind and the senses. And the more we reflect on these things, you can also see Krishna's point on many things will become much more valid to us. For example, when Krishna says to us, this world is not real. World is not real. It is the manifestation of Maya. In the Ekadasha Skandham, you will see this. Krishna repeatedly saying this. And we keep saying, oh, I can't accept it straight away like that. Why is that? Because of this difficulty, we have to cross this obstacles of mind and intelligence in between. We are not gone beyond that. And it is only for this reason that when the Mahatmas talk to us, they want to get us over this mental platform, get us beyond this mind, to get us to some stage where we can be free from the influence of the mind and the senses. Otherwise, it won't happen to us. No matter, we can keep on talking about spiritual life. But till this realization, Pajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvan Parthamanogadan Atmanyeva Atmanatushtaha Atmanyeva Atmanatushtaha, that state has to come. Somehow a little experience of that will come, Krishna says, provided you follow this process. Otherwise it's not. From now on, this whole second chapter, Krishna is talking to us how to make this practical in life. We'll discuss it on when? Next Monday? Monday, yeah. So it's on Monday. Yeah. Thank you.